Okay, today's daf is Tainus Yerushalmi Daf Zayin, and we are on Vav Mabez. As we discuss the sets of fast days that are decreed, that are nigzar by the rabbis of the time, just in case if there is no rain. So we said in the Mishnah on yesterday's daf, if the first set, if Rosh Chodesh Kislev comes and it hasn't been rain, then Bezin is Gozer, Gzeros, the three on the Tzibor. If there's Avru Eluv Lo Nanu, then there's another three fast days, 3, 3, 7. The second three are more Chomer, as we mentioned, that there's fasting, it starts the night before, this Ochlan Vishos and Olami Bod Yom, and there's an Isser Malacha and the Isserim of Inuyim that we're familiar with from Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. That kicks in also on the second set of fast day, the second three. The Mishnah said Usser with washing and with anointing and wearing shoes. And the like. We spoke about different of the Inuyim. So let's go to Berechitza. Berechitza on Vav Mabe is about a little more than halfway down. That's what we will start with. We spoke about the last time if somebody does a behavior knowing that it's Usser or not knowing that it's Usser, they're mistaken, a difference in terms of Hataras Adaram, the last point that we made. But now we continue. So Berechitza, there's an Isra on the second set of fast days, the three, there's an Isra to wash, like we're familiar with by Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. But really, there's not exactly the same exact halacha. Zira Barchava Yosei Bered Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi B'Shem Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. B'tainis Sibor, on these later set of fast days, I mean, the first three fast days are, there's just the eating. And from the morning, there's no other inuyim. But on the second set, B'tayin et Sibur, Marchas Yadav Panav Raglav Kedarko. One is not allowed to wash their entire body, but one is allowed to wash their hands and face and feet. B'Tisha B'Av, Marchas Yadav U'Mavir Nalpanav. On Tisha B'Av, one could wash their hands in the morning, L'Shem, to remove the Ruach Ra, L'Shem Mitzvah. And then, after drying, there's usually a little bit of moisture left on the fingers, so that umavir and alpanav. So that could be, rubbed on the face. That little bit of water left. B'yom Kippurim, marchas yadav makan chabamaka yom kippur. One could wash in the morning, l'shem mitzvah. But then you have to dry your hands. Umavir esamapa alpanav. So after you dry your hands on the towel, so then maybe the towel is a little moisture, but each one is a little more chumer than the previous, right? We have this back in Maseches Yuma. Rabbi Yona Tari Martuta V'yav L'Tachas Kader. Rabbi Yona used to soak a smartut, a rag, before Yom Kippur and squeeze it out and put it under a kad, put it under a barrel in order to really squeeze out the moisture, so there's only a little bit left, and that's what was used on Yom Kippur. Again, washing L'Shem Mitzvah is discussed on Yom Kippur, right? If a Kohanim washing their hands before they duchen is allowed on Yom Kippur, if somebody gets their hands dirty, as in Tav Kuf Nun Dalid. Again, there's a halachas about a fast day, and there's a halachas regarding Yom Kippur. But if you look in the Hilchas Tisha B'Av, the Shulchan Aruch says Tav Kuf Nun Dalid Yud. Noto Adam Yadav Shachris V'Zorach Lizar Shlo Yitol Yadav Ela Atzof Kishri Etzba'osav. So there's a little washing, right? We wash up until the knuckles. On Tisha B'Av morning, we have to wash because of the Ruach Ra, the Mishnah Berurah, Mishnah Ruach Ra Hashor Al Yadayim, Tahavilei Kimaluch Lach Betitu Betzoa. It's Kielu, it's dirty. If a person falls into the mud on Tisha B'Av, they can wash their hands and wash off the mud. That's not a Rechitza Shel Tainug. So too, when we wake up in the morning, it's Kielu, our hands are full of mud. There's Ruach Ra on it that has to be removed. One of the three reasons we wash our hands in the morning. So because of that, we're able to wash our hands. It is a mutter. V'lachei nirali, so says the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah wonders, do you see a netilas yadayim on that washing? Right, we know that you only make a bracha on something that's positive, not to remove a problem. Right, in Mayim Achronim, there's no bracha on. Right, Mayim Rishonim, we're being mosif kedusha before we wash our hands, therefore we make a bracha. There's a bracha on tevilas kalim. There's no bracha on kashering kalim. Because removing a problem there's no bracha, just adding on kedusha. So here, if I'm only doing the washing for removal of ruach ra, there are two other reasons we wash on a regular day. So the Mishnah Berurah wonders about that. Whether you say the bracha ayin shem birach grosh b'fakpik al dinza, v'lachin nira li shelo yivarech anatila shodayim b'shachres lachar natila, rak sha'achar sha'asat srachav Yitol Yadav Aysof Kishrei Esposa, Va'az Yivarach HaNatilah Shadayim Shem Tefillah. So if you're going to have the second reason also why we wash our hands, because our hands are dirty and I'm getting ready for davening, I'm washing my hands for davening, which is not just a removal of dirt, but it's getting ready for davening. So then you can ready make a bracha. So generally I think the minhag is to make a bracha on Tishba morning after one washes one's hands, because we're being yotzei both of those reasons. Good. So that's what the Gemara says here on Tisha B'Av. One has that, one washes when it's not L'shei Mitzvah. Just read the next line in the Shulchan Aruch. Ula achar sheni gave yadav v'yadayin lachus ksas ma'avir nalenav, like our Gemara says. And after you dry your hands, it's still a little moisture on the hands, then you can put it over your eyes. Good. Says the Gemara. So what did we just say? There's a difference between the fast days, right? These extra three fast days, and Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara, but one second. And we had this, the next five lines of the Gemara, the Brisa, we had it numerous times in the Yerushalmi already, a couple of times. Vatani, but didn't we learn in the Brisa, Ein Bein Tisha B'Av, Latinist Sibur, Ella Isser Malacha, Bakam Shinagu. But didn't we learn there's no difference between Tisha B'Av and the fast days, except Isser Malacha, in a place where there was a Minag. But we just said that there's differences in Rechitza. How can the Brisa say this is the only difference? So there's no answer given to that question. We're going to have a couple of more lines that we're familiar with, soon. No answer to that question. But continuing the Rechitza line. Haya holech etzel rabo o etzel bito v'aver bayemo benar in a choshech. Somebody on Yom Kippur is going to see his Rebbe. I guess they're having a little break on Yom Kippur afternoon. So he's going to see his Rebbe on Yom Kippur or etzel bito or his daughter. And he has to pass through a, water, area. Don't worry about it, because you're not trying to get wet there. It's devar sheni miskaving, so to speak. You're not focusing on it. Therefore, you can walk through it. And if your feet get dirty in the mud, so then you can wash them, again, to remove the dirt. And in a choshesh, don't worry about the dirt. Hori Rebbe Ba, Kin Tanya, Rebbe Ba, Paskin, like that Tana. Hori Rebbe Acha, also, somebody comes in from the traveling and their feet are weak, and they need to rinse them in order to give them a little strength. Also, there's a heta rechitza. Interesting, our girsa of holy chetzel rabo o etzel bito. If you look in the Gemara in Yumin, the Bavli, daf ayin zayin, the language is, ha'olich lahakbo p'nei aviv, o p'nei rabo, o b'p'nei misha gadol mimenu, over at sever b'mayim min achoshesh. My nafkamina, bito. Bito. Meaning, is it only mutter l'tzorach mitzvah? Right, the examples given in the Bavli are Lotzorach Mitzvah, Rebbe, father, somebody greater than you. And here we have Bito, right? So it sounds like from our Girsa in Yerushalmi, maybe it's a little more expanded. If you look in Hilchas Yom Kippur, in Tafresh Yud Gimel, which is the Issa Rechitza of, on Yom Kippur, the Shulchan Aruch language is, Haholich Labes HaMedrish, O Lahakwa Pnei Aviv, O Rabbo, then you could go up into your neck in water. He talks about some limitations, but it does not mention anything other than L'shei Mitzvah. That's what Mishnah Berurah notes in the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Yodala, Vena Choshish Mishum Issa Rechitza, Kiva Du L'Dvar Mitzvah, Vena Machav Echala Nas Rechitza, because this is the L'Dvar Mitzvah. So I guess the post can assume that there's a machlokas here. The Yushalmi would say, no, it's even L'Shei Mitzvah, because Bito L'Chor, what's the L'Shei Mitzvah? But that would be a chelag. Into the Tosas Yishanim, there in Yuma, on Daf Ayin Zayin, wonders, okay, fine about the Issa Rechitza, but isn't there an Issa washing your clothes? Yom Kippur is like Shabbos. Right, we paskin that we know that every stage, the modern and the ancient washing our clothes is done in the exact same way. Just one's manual and one's with a machine. There are three stages of the washing process. Each one of them is an Issur D'oraisa. Each one of them on Shabbos. So what do? First we have soaking, the soak stage, right? And that's the application of the water to the garment. Then we have the agitation stage. That's where it gets really loud, the machine, that you move it around, and then the rinsing stage, right? Getting the water out. Each of those are considered part of the process. And that's what was done in the days of old. At these huge, barrels where the clothing was put in, the soaking stage, and then you agitate them, you scrub them, and then you rinse them. So each one of those. So ask Right? There's a line in Chazal, the Gemara, Shriyaso Zeo Kibuso. Soaking is like washing. Like if somebody gets their shirt dirty, applying any type of liquid, any type of water to the shirt, even without rubbing it, just, I'm just dabbing. Right? That's, I'm just violating this daraisa. Right? There's no liquid. So he asked the Tosfos Yeshayanim. So he quotes a Deya, which is a major machlokas Rishonim. Right? When we say, Shriyaso Zeo Kibuso, that soaking is washing, is that only if it's dirty or even if it's not dirty? Do you say Shriyaso Zeo Kibuso by a clean beged? That's a machlokas Rishonim. So that's what the Tosfos Yeshayanim here answers. If your clothing are clean, so then you don't say Shriyaso Zeo Kibuso. He says, "Va'omer Rebbe deheicha deika dam o devar tinuf ala beged hasam dafka shviyaso zeo kibuso t'nifas dam mayri hasam perak dam chatas aval heicha sha beged shachor machmas shenilbash bo o machmas shenishtamshu bo o shaya lavan legamre vein bo shum tinuf ella shetzarech lelabein adayin lo amrinan shviyaso zeo kibuso." Says if it's not dirty, and that's 2 days in the Ramah. 2 days in the Ramban Hilchos Shabbos. Ramban Hilchos Shabbos quotes in Simen, Shin Beis, says the Ramah, Uveged she'ein alav lichloch, mutter lases alav mayim mu'atim, velo merubim, shema yischod. You can't put it in a ton, because then there might be a zero, you might come to squeeze it out. But putting a little bit of a liquid on a beged that's clean, why would you do that? Maybe you want to cool off, I don't know. V'yesh osrim b'chol inyan, and the Ramah says, but some aser that it's not an issue of dirt, even if it's not dirty, even if it's not dirty. Okay. V'yesh l'mer, Mishnah Berurah says, V'yesh l'ocher sh'lodei azul l'hachmer v'shal Torah. Right? We should be machmer like that, like the machmer shita. Okay. Tani, avel menut ashay mahalchen baderech. In avel, somehow, somebody who's sitting shiva who has to go out of their house for a certain reason, umenut, that's somebody who's excommunicated. They have the halachas parallel. Somebody who's menu that has parallel halachas to an avel. Shemachan b'derech they had to travel. Mutar b'dinas asadol. They're allowed to put on their shoes when they travel. L'kashiyavo le'ir yachlotzu. When they come to the city, they have to take it off. The isra b'dinas asadol. V'chim b'tishabav, v'chim b'tayna sibur. Also on these fast days. On these fast days when you can't wear shoes or on tishabav, if you have to travel somewhere, so then you can put on the shoes just to protect your feet. And when you get to wherever you're going, so then you take them off. B'sicha. What about anointing, smearing, kada d'tani? So three categories. Bishabis, Bein Sicha, Shei Shotan, Bein Sicha, Shei Shotan, and Mutter. Smearing myself with, let's say, liquid oil on Shabbos is a Mutter. Even for enjoyment, not for enjoyment, Mutter. What's the issue? If it's liquid, there's no issue of Mimareach. So what's the potential issue here is Refuah. If I'm smearing in order to heal. So, as explains the Karban Eidah, if I'm using an oil that even healthy people often use, that's called machal briyim. The iser derabanan of taking medicine on Shabbos for certain types of cholim have certain built-in heterim. And one of them is, if it's not medicine. If healthy people, right, use it. If somebody mineral water, I don't know, something, they're doing that to be healthy. Somebody's having chicken soup because they have a cold, not because they enjoy chicken soup, right? Somebody, Ramosha talks about, and others, what about vitamins? Ramosha says, how many people are sick in the world? And how many people take vitamins? Many, many more people take vitamins than are sick. So you see, it doesn't have the halacha of a medicine. Right? So anything that's called machal briyim. So here, anything that healthy people are involved in is not called medicine. So here too, says the Karban Eidah on top, mutares ubilvad lo muchach milsa the refuah kavod. As long as it's not clear that you're using it for medicinal purposes, so then it is mutter. So Shabbos, all sicha is mutter. Yom Kippur, it's all aser. Bein sicha shi shaltana, bein sicha shena shaltana, aser. Everything's aser, meaning deodorants, right? Yom Kippur, it's even ena shaltana, even if it's just to remove a bad smell, not to add on a good smell. Yom Kippur, that's aser. Sicha she'ena shaltana is aser. And on Tisha B'Av, and you have the chilek, but Tisha B'Av, u'betana sibur, sicha shi shaltana, aser. A sicha that's meant for enjoyment is aser. She'ena shaltana is mutter, but if it's not shaltana, is mutter. But what do you see from that last line, Tisha B'Av and Taina Sibur, that Sicha, it depends. So the Gemara says elsewhere, and this is what's quoted here, Sicha, based on Psukim, is like drinking. Anointing is like drinking. Drinking, the liquid goes through my mouth, and Sicha goes through my skin. But the Gemara says there's a parallel between the two. But clear from this Brisa that they're not exactly parallel. Because all drinking is Usur on Tisha B'Av on these fast days, even though we just said Sicha is mutter if it's not l'shem tainug. So that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara is mashba that they're not exactly the same. So says the Gemara, right, this is what we've had. V'hatani shava sicha l'shtiyah, but don't we have that we do compare anointing, smearing, and drinking for certain halachas, right? Sicha is k'shtiyah. Don't we compare them? So the Gemara says, no, we only compare them regarding certain halachas. Le'isser v'latashlumin avalola onesh. We compare them for isser, meaning I am not a kohen. If I smear truma oil on my skin, that's usser. Just like I can't drink truma liquid, I'm not allowed to smear truma oil. Ula tashlumin. And if I did it by accident, I have to pay the kohen. Remember when if somebody indulges in truma bishogeg, they have to pay the kohen. Avalola onesh. But if I smeared myself with truma oil bemazed, I just can't control myself and I need to smear, I'm not going to get malchus for that. Even though if I would drink, right, I would get malchus. So you see that it's when the Braisa says that sicha is like shtiyah, it only means for certain halachas and not for others. Says the Gemara, b'yom kippurim le'isser avalola onesh. And Yom Kippur also, it's usser to smear on Yom Kippur, but I'm not going to get kares for that. Eating and drinking on Yom Kippur is l'chi of kares, but the other inuyim are not. Rizam achlokes rishonim, we mentioned, is a daraisa. Sounds like from this Gemara that is daraisa. The Rambam. The Rambam says that all inuyim are daraisa. Only eating and drinking get kares. Bali Tosfos say, no, all the other four inuyim are nisa d'rabana. Only eating and drinking are daraisa. But you see from here that it doesn't apply in Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara, you're telling me what? That smearing is not like drinking? Vatani, but didn't we learn the Braisa? V'lo yechalalu, right? V'lo yechalalu, the Pasuk, according to Chazal, means truma. V'lo yechalalu as kachei b'nei Yisrael. Don't violate. V'lo yechalalu. L'rabo says the Sakhva Zashoset. Doesn't that include smearing and drinking? Doesn't that include smearing and drinking? And therefore that would... meaning a non-Kohen using that for Truma. Rabbi Yochanan, less Kansach. No, take out Sach from that Braisa. When Lo Yechalu should just include drinking and not Sach. Says the Gemara, you can't do that. Amar Avav Mari, Ein in less Kansach, less Kan Shoseh. You can't take out Sach and then leave in Shoseh. Meaning that Pasuk is only referring to drinking Truma. You can't say that. Why? Delachain, that's like Di'im Lokain. Because if not, Dover Shuba Machbashne Lavin Mitztaref. Right, we know eating and drinking truma are mitztaref for the isser combined. You can only say they combine for the isser if they're coming from the same pasuk, right? So you learn out ochel, you can learn out shoseh from ochel. But if the only thing learned out from v'lo yechalalu is drinking, that's a separate isser then. That you don't learn it from the eating pasuk, that eating and drinking shouldn't be able to be combined. So it must be that drinking is learned out from the eating pasuk. So what's learned out from this pasuk v'lo yechalalu? There's only one thing left, sach. See, Rabbi Yochanan, you can't take Sach out of the Braisa. You can't delete it, because that's the only thing that really we are learning from the Braisa. So we reject Rabbi Yochanan's delete. The Gemara just continues within this same sugya, that we're not only talking about, right, when is Sicha Aser, Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, and Truma if I'm not a Kohen, and Maaser Sheni oil outside of Yerushalayim. That's all within the same world. So the Gemara says, Minayichu Mechuver Ba'asei, right, the Karbon HaEda here explains, fine, being Sach Meister Sheni oil outside of Yerushalayim. So I can't find any Isser Daraisa. How do you know it's Usser at all, like included in an Asay? So the following, Reb Lazar, B'Shem, Rebbe Simai, V'lo Nasati, Mimenu Lameis, when we say Vidui Meisteris, we say all the things that we did properly and the things that we didn't do improperly. So one of them is, V'lo Nasati, Mimenu Lameis, I didn't give it to I didn't use Meister Sheni for a dead body. What does that mean? Ma'ani Kaiman, what kind of usage would I use Meister Sheni for a dead body? Im lavi lo arm tachrichin, doesn't mean that, I didn't use Meister Sheni money in order to buy shrouds and a coffin. So Gemara says that can't be what it means. Why? Because you're not allowed to buy clothing even for a live person from Meister Sheni money. So of course from a dead person. Davar shehu asur l'chai, l'chayu asur lo koshikin l'meis. We must be talking about something that you're allowed to do to a live person and not allowed to do to a dead person. So Eze, what must be referred to here? Davarshu mutar lachai v'asur l'meis, something that you're allowed to do to a live person and also to a dead person. Favi omer zesicha. That's sicha meaning smearing. If I'm in Yerushalayim, Meister Sheni oil, I'm allowed to smear. But outside, right, I'm not allowed to. Just like, the Gemara's comparing, just like you're not allowed to smear on a dead body. You're not allowed to, just like you're not, whenever there's an isser of smearing, of using Maaser Sheni improperly, that would be included in the pasuk. So you're not allowed to smear Maaser Sheni on a dead body, you're not allowed to smear Maaser Sheni oil outside of Yerushalayim, and that's all included in this pasuk of Lo Nasati Mimenu, Lames. Period. The Rishonim already discuss, there's a Svarno, about why we call it Vidui Maaseres. Vidui is usually associated with when we did something wrong. Right? Vidui, the part of tshuva is Vidui. And yet, Chazal call, when we do something right, and we confess, usually confess, when we confess, so this whole Vidui Maaseres, why is it called Vidui? If it's Vidui, it's usually associated with tshuva. So the Svarno has one shot. Rav Soloveitchik discusses that a major part of tshuva is recognizing the godless of the person. If I don't think I'm able to improve, so then I'm not going to be able to do tshuva. If I just I'm depressed and I think I'm totally left and forgotten and distant, I can't forget it. I'm done. Then you're never going to be able to do tshuva. So tshuva requires a man to believe in himself. So vidui is all about recognizing your godless also, not just saying what you did wrong. But a part of vidui is also recognizing the power, right? Rav Soloveitchik, on the ability of each individual to cleanse himself, to comprehend the boundless hidden spiritual powers which are found in the human personality, and which propel one in the direction of return to the sovereign of the universe, on the ability of man to elevate himself to majestic heights, even after he has sunk into the abyss of impurity. The second principle is just as important as the first. A man obviously cannot engage in repentance if he does not have the boldness to admit that he has sinned. That's the first part that I didn't read. Without recognition of the sin, there can be no regret. Yet there can be no commitment for the future if the man has no faith in his ability to rise above the sins he has committed. And that's why he says, the praise of man, just as his shame, is a part of confession. Right? That's a crucial element. If he has manifested his power to fulfill the will of the Holy One, blessed be he, and is fulfilling this mitzvah, the God has the right to demand that he demonstrate the strength under all circumstances. Okay, that's part of what Rav Soloveitchik says. We continue. Says the Gemara, B'ni'ilas hasandal shoes, t'ni, kol elush amru asur b'ni'ilas hasandal, whenever it says it's asur to wear the shoes on all these days, yatzal aderach, no, if you have to travel and you have to put them on, you can put them on, yiyel akrach olets, when you get to the city, take it off, v'chein ba'avel, v'chein b'menuda. So to avel and menuda, have the Isra of Nilas Asantal. Is Tani Tani Yotzin Ban Pali Yabayam Kippurim. And we had the following couple of lines we already had back in Yuma. There is a brisa that says, this person is allowed to wear socks on Yom Kippur. Some type of socks that they used to wear without shoes. On Pali Yabayam Kippurim. Is Tani Tani Ein Yotzin. Another brisa says, you can't. Amar Rav Chizda Manda Amar Yotzin Ban Pali Yashal Beged. Rav Chizda says, the brisa that says that you can means it's some type of fabric sock. That's not really a shoe, and therefore it's allowed. Manda amar ein yotzim apalei shalor, some type of leather, where you have leather on the bottom, so then that has the status of a sandal, and therefore you can't. Rabbi Yisrael bar Nachman saw Gabri Rav Shub ben Levi, Levi Samar Abba. Rabbi Yisrael bar Nachman went to visit Rav Shub ben Levi on the night of Yom Kippur. Nafag lagabe, laves sulisa, he came out wearing some type of slippers. Sulisa, amarle, mao hachin, he says, ooh, what are you doing? Amarle, istinis ani, says, I'm an istinis. Meaning, carbon aida, v'lav latayinu gudavid. I'm not wearing this for enjoyment. I'm just wearing because I would get sick. I would get sick if I didn't wear these slippers. And therefore it's mutter. Ibshu bar Nachman saw Gabi Rav Shimon Levi b'leil tanisa. Also, he went to visit him on the night of Yom Kippur. Navel gabe lavish shulisa. He was wearing these slippers. Amalei, ma'achin, what are you doing? Amalei, istinis ani. I'm an istinis, so I'm allowed. Rav Shammai chamune. They saw Rav Shammai, Nafak Levushi Sulisa, Baleh Tanisa. They also saw Rav Shammai going out with these slippers. Chatamid min Rabbi Mana. One student of Rabbi Mana, Hori Lachad min Krovei, Dinasia, once advised one of the relatives of the Nasi, Lamilba Sulisa, that they're allowed to wear the slippers. So Amar Le, Rabbi Mana says, now we're going to add in a couple of words from Chaim Kanievsky's Girsa. Amar Le, on min hada, so where did you get this from? Amar le min Yishuv ben Levi, you from Yishuv ben Levi, Yishuv ben Levi, Amar istinis ani. Yishuv ben Levi says, so that's the psak that many say istinis is allowed to wear. Remember that we've quoted in the past the isser of wearing shoes. Obviously, the pashus is that it's uncomfortable, but there is symbolism about also taking off one's shoes. Remember the whenever one is in a makam kadosh, one removes shoes. right? The first command that Moshe Rabbeinu receives from God ever, Shana Lecha Me'al Raglecha, take off your shoes, right? Yeshua Ben Nun, take off your shoes. Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, take off their shoes. So what's with taking off our shoes? So the Shlach HaKadosh connects it to, we say every morning, Sha'asali Kol Tzarki, which Chazal say means we should have in mind, after we say all the other brachas about opening up our eyes, opening on our clothes, Hashem has done all my needs for me. Sha'asali Kol Tzarki, we should have in mind our shoes. Right, why dafka our shoes? So they explain, the Shlach HaKadosh and the Marshal explain that the shoes symbolize that man has dominion over everything in the world. Right, the levels of being that the Rishonim discuss, domim someh chayim adaber, the inanimate, and on top of that is the plants, and on top of that are the animals, and we're on top of this pyramid. That means that we use everything under us to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? To live in the world. The animals use the plant life, and the people use the animals, and that's symbolized by shoes. Shoes made out of leather, when we put on our shoes, it's a reflection of using everything in life, we have dominion. So when we're in a Makom Kadosh, we take off our shoes, because we don't have dominion here, right? We recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge, we remove our shoes. And that's where, and maybe that connects to Tisha B'Av, this he doesn't say, this I'm adding, Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur, it's God's day, right? The Gemara in Yuma, in the Bavli Daf Chaf, that the HaSatan is Gematria 364, because there's one day, it's only Hashem's domain, Hashem's realm. We take off our shoes on Yom Kippur. And maybe on Tisha B'Av too, and Avelis, that's also, we recognize, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge, even though one feels distant and one is in pain, but we recognize that Hashem is in charge of this, of life and death, and that's also reflected by taking off shoes. Okay, B'tash V'shamita, Isa Chami B'rachitza Aser, B'tash V'shamita L'kol Shekein. One second. We already know that washing is usher. So shouldn't that be obvious then that Tashra Mita is usher? Why? Because remember in the days of old, the days of the Mishnah, Ezra HaSofer was misakein that after anyone is with their wife, they have to go to the mikvah before learning Torah, before davening. It's called Tfilas Ezra, Tachanis Ezra. So everybody wants to go to shul on Yom Kippur. So once we say that you're not allowed to wash and go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur, then obviously you can't be with your wife on Yom Kippur because people are going to want to go daven. So why can't you just say it's also to wash on Yom Kippur? And Mamela will know that when it's not allowed to be with their wife. Tipater, b'makam she'in tovlin. No, not everybody accepted that takana. B'makam she'in tovlin, right? There's the Gemara says in Brachas that divrei Torah ain't a makablin tumah. That Klal Yisrael did not accept, maybe originally, but it's no longer binding. And therefore, one, there's no isser of davening and learning after one is, with one's wife, and therefore, you have to have a separate halacha of tashmish. Big discussion in the Rishonim. If Ezra HaSofer made a takana, how could a later Bezdin get rid of it? Ezra HaSofer. So it must be that it was built in, that, it could be undone, or it was never accepted by all of Klal Yisrael. Oh, call them Acha Lohiskin Ezra Tfilo Balikarian, or it was before, he made the takana. That's when before they made the Mishnah is way after Ezra. Before it was instituted by later generations. Even in the days of Ezra, what was he mitaken? When does one have to go to the mikvah? So Rabbi Shimon ben Levi says only if, as we said, one was with their wife. That's when they had an emission based on that. Even if one wasn't with their wife, but they dreamed about their wife. Right, something like that. Or neos bachalom, right? Or meaning low plug. Doesn't matter what they even if they weren't involved in the actual maisa. Haviboy meimar uvan meisha. As long as they dreamed about their wife or a natural type of act. Rabbi Yosef Shravan Amar nafilim midavar acher. Rabbi Yonav Yosef, what does this mean? It could be any time. The Pnei Moshe says any type of emission that would be included. Is other pshatim of that, but we'll go with that one. Period. Taman Tana. What's that? We learned in the Mishnah in Yuma. Yoma Kibur Maser Brachi Lebrachitza Besicha. When is the Sando? But after Shemita, at all the Inuyim we learned back in the last parak of Yuma. V'tani Allah, and we learned Bali Kiri and Tovlin Kadarka Betzinav Yom Kippurim. And we also learned in a Brisa that a Bal Kiri, someone who has an emission, is allowed to go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur. Let's have the plika of Rabbi Shimon Levi. Isn't that against Rabbi Shimon Levi? Because the Brisa. Right, must be about a re'ia la'onsa, right? And there's Tashmish Amita's usher, so why would somebody be going to the mikvah on Yom Kippur? It must be that something came out. So it's against Rabbi Shimon Levi who said it's only if one is involved with one's wife. So Gemara says, no, patal al bimi shashimish mitasim, ibod yom, b'shochav al tovol. Maybe it's somebody who was with their wife the night before Yom Kippur. Right? And he forgot to go to the mikveh before, so maybe that's what the Bryce is talking about. Says the Gemara, can you suggest that? Vatani, Bryce, Amaisa, Rabbi Yosef ben Chalafta. Shiro tovol, also b'shem Yom Kippurim. They saw Rabbi Yosef ben Chalafta going to the mikveh on Yom Kippur. You think he forgot before Yom Kippur? That can't be. It must be, no, going back, it must be that the mikvah is even for a case of la'onso, where it didn't come out dafka with one's wife, and therefore we reject Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, period. Rabbi Yehuda, either way, la'maskana, me'ikar adin, it's not a halacha, we don't pass in that way anymore, as the Gemara says, Divrei Torah ena makablim tumah. Rabbi Yehuda bar Pazi, Rabbi Chanan b'shem Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak. Noach b'knisasa l'teva, nasru lo tashra jamita. Once we're talking about when there is Yisurim, when Noach went into the teva, he wasn't allowed to be with his wife for that year. Matam, uvasa l'teva atova necha v'ishcho v'nushe v'necha itach. Remember Rashi quotes this. Because the Pasuk says when he went out to the teva, it says, Noach, you and your sons. Your wife and your sons' wives. Separately. Ubitzis also, and when he came out, hutcha lo tashra jamita. Matam, what's the source? Seat min ateva atav ishtacha uvanecha nushe vanecha itach. That's a remez to that halacha. Amar Reb Chiya bar Ba, l'mishpacho seyem yatsu min ateva. Right? They went out of the teva according to their families. Al yideisha shimru yachaseyem zachu linatsu min ateva. Based on the fact that they kept to their own type, they went out of the teva. Even the animals. So remember Chazal said that beforehand, even the animals were being with not their type. Teidalacha, shu, can I prove it to you? Shetanina, because we learned in the Braisa. Cham, kelev, va'orev, kilkulu maseyem. There were three that did not keep the rules. Cham, kelev, the dog, va'orev, and the raven. Kilkulu maseyem. Cham, yatsa, mefucham. Cham, his punishment was he came out somewhat darkened, and everybody knew that he was dark and punished. Kelev, yatsa, mefursim, betashmisho. A dog, came out and his punishment was mefursim, betashmisho. So the, Carbonate here explains that a dog, and this is the Metzias that we know of too, a dog, when dogs mate, they don't face each other, it's kind of backwards, says the Carbonate here, Venichon his parade, and they're in a certain situation where they can't separate, and it's different than the way the other animals mate. Orev yatsa mishunem en abrios, and orev is different, mishunem en abrios, the Carbonate here says that they spit zera from one mouth to the other. This we don't know what exactly that is. It's not the way that we understand, but either way, something about the orev. Maybe orev is not a raven. Maybe it's a different type of bird, but no birds that we know of have this type of mating. Amar Rav Avun, ksiv b'chaser uva kafan galmud. When missing and famine galmud. What does that mean? B'shashat ro chisaron ba la'olam asei ishtachal galmuda. When there is a chisaron, when there is a famine in the world, then galmud means alone, meaning not to be with one's wife. Right? That's what Chazal darshan based on Yosef, the father. Yosef had the kids before the famine. Tani b'shem Rabbi Yehuda te'evi banim misham shemitosan. If somebody does not have children and he still has to fulfill puravu, then he's allowed to be with one's wife during the shas harav. Amar Rabbi Yosi b'vad yom shetava. And especially, maybe this is going back even on the question what this is going by, only at a time when the last line, when one is Tevei Banim, because that's the time that ovulation happens, around that time Yom Shetavla, maybe this is even going on previous, but these are the halachas of Tashra Shemita B'Shas HaRav. Maybe we'll start next time with the question of the Rishonim. Yocheved was Nolda Ben Achomos on the way into Mitzrayim. If there was already a famine there, then how was it that she came to be Dafka at that time? So maybe we'll start with that next time.